second half of the People's Show coming to you live from the Kintech Studio. Segment brought to you by JanPro, the leaders in commercial cleaning and janitorial. If your workplace demands a clean environment, contact JanPro for a free, no obligation quote. Visit janpro.ca. Also, a note on tonight's game, the 50-50 tonight, supporting the Sedin family as part of the ongoing partnership to fund an annual project supporting families across BC. Foundation partners with schools, community groups, and social service agency to identify needs and find creative and unique ways to make a difference for children and families. The online sales are open now, opened at noon today. They close at the second intermission versus the Canadians. So don't wait. Go to Canucks.com/online5050. You must be 19 plus to play. Located in BC at time of purchase. Know your limit. Play within it. That is for the Canucks for Kids 50-50 raffle in support of the Sedin Family Foundation for tonight's game. Which I think at this stage they're all big games now because you're making this chase for the Pacific Division crown. I think 8 more wins might get you there. It's going to force the Oilers to be 11-5 in the stretch to tie you. And also the other advantages Canucks have in this is they got the 5 regulation wins over the Oilers. Canucks sit at 37 right now, Oilers at 32. So it's going to be very difficult for the Oilers to jump them. So they essentially need to get 6 more regulation wins here than the Canucks in 16 games. It's going to be very, very difficult for Edmonton. But with this schedule that's setting up for Vancouver, and the Washington loss really stings because it would have made things that much easier. But Montreal, Calgary, Anaheim, those are 3 big ones. You get those 6, you're talking you probably need 7-8 wins. You can get 3 there. Arizona still 2 more against them. You get 1 more against Calgary. You can kind of just do it with those ones. Then maybe you make up some points everywhere else. But as I said the other day, too, I want to see a string of consistent performances. As you're getting ready for the playoffs. Maybe it's 5, maybe it's 7, whatever number it is for you. You had a decent one against Buffalo, actually a really good one, although Buffalo was fairly exhausted, didn't put up the biggest of fights. But that's 1. Now start stringing it together for Montreal, Calgary, LA, Dallas, Anaheim, Vegas. You get to that stage, would cool a lot of concerns. People want to see a lot of playoff success and the team raring to go. Getting ready for game 1. All right. The big thing for me from last game, too, it was the play that everyone kind of raised their eyebrows at and was chuckling a bit, certainly on the bench as well, and had a laugh about it post-game as well with Quinn Hughes when he joined us, but it was the hit. And here's the thing. We're all looking for guys to elevate their games here. And JT Miller's been doing it for 20-some-odd games. Quinn Hughes has been fantastic after the road trip from the All-Star break. He's raised his game. But that's the play you look at and say, there's an evolution now, in understanding that you have to evolve too, the effort is going to demand more of you come playoff, and you should be prepared to do things that are outside of your nature. Rick Tocchet has mentioned, you know, being comfortable with being uncomfortable. You're going to have to do uncomfortable things if you're going to have success in the playoffs. And is throwing a big check comfortable for Quinn Hughes? But there he was, willing to do it. It's not just anybody willing to do it. It's not some guy scrapping to stay in the lineup. It's the captain changing his game a little bit to do that in that game against the Sabres. I want to see what other guys are trying to do. Stay within yourselves. Do what you're good at, of course. But this time of year demands more of you. And Quinn Hughes was willing to do that on Tuesday. Who's willing to follow suit tonight? That's going to be important to watch for me. And also just how they combat this frisky Montreal team, who, you know, they're getting ready to pack it in their part of the season. But it's not going to be easy by any stretch of the means. We'll see how they can capitalize tonight. Plus, hey, the power play, it improved a great deal last game, creating way more chances. Do we see a bit more fluidity and consistency when it comes to the power play? Do they convert in a big way tonight against Montreal? All right, 650-650. This one, AP, a horse, home ice means blank. I can't say it. I could care less if they won the division. Look what happened to the biggest, most important game of the playoffs in 2011. Let's rest up the big guns, get ready for the big show, not to worry about these meaningless games. Meant a great deal going through the playoffs. You want to have home ice. I get sour still from Game 7 in 2011. It's a good thing to have home ice. I do agree, though, with AP. It's if you're good enough to win, you're good enough to win. Can you take care of business? And this text came in earlier. I bet you if you ask other playoff teams what team they want, Canucks would be top of the list. No one wants Nashville because of the goalie. Well, that applies to Vancouver with Demko as well. But I think there's the fan perception. It's like, well, Vancouver's new on the block here. That's a team I'd want to play. If you're asking a Golden Knights fan, are they too concerned? If you're asking a Predators fan, is that the team they want versus Edmonton? But you see the comments from teams and players across the league routinely so far this year. It has come back. Man, that's one of the toughest games we've played all year. They check really hard. They make it difficult. That's been the Canucks' identity. Playing really strong defense in here recently. 5-on-5, 7 goals against in the last 7 games for opposition teams. It's not easy scoring goals against Vancouver. And players and coaches have recognized that. There's not a lot of opportunity to create against Vancouver, and how many teams are going to be thrilled to see that come the playoffs. I think that list from the team's vantage point might be shorter than you realize, but I get it from the fans' point of view. If there's fans of other teams sitting there, like if you're an LA Kings fan, it's like, we've seen Edmonton so many times, can we mix it up and see Vancouver this time? Might not be easy. It might not be easy with the way Vancouver has played defense this year. All right, keep coming in. 650, plenty more to get into tonight. Want to touch on a couple of things. How are we doing in March Madness so far, Elon?
8 games on the day. Right now we have our closest game, 58-56, Nevada-Dayton. All the other games, blowouts except for Duquesne-BYU, which was a 4-point game. No buzzer beaters yet today, Bick. I'm 7-for-8 on the day.
7-for-8. Crushing it. Are you in the pool?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, you are in the pool. So no buzzer beaters just yet. Is this stacked in a way? We weren't expecting any upsets early, were we? I guess Duquesne would be the one that you were talking about there.
Duquesne, 11-6.
Yeah.
Which, not knowingly, Duquesne's head coach was LeBron James' coach in high school.
Right, okay. So at St. Mary's or whatever?
St. Vincent St. Mary's.
St. Vincent St. Mary's,
LeBron gifted the whole team with shoes yesterday.
I saw that last night. I meant to change my pick.
How did you see that and not pick Duquesne?
Yeah, I screwed that one up. I meant to switch it. I got busy. I was building furniture yesterday. IKEA's doing my head in. That was a rough night last night. At one point, I just gave up. I can't do this. Instructions are no help. I usually like building IKEA furniture. I have no problem. Yesterday, did my head in. And I saw the video, and I was like, oh, I'm too busy to deal with this right now. Forgot to change my pick to Duquesne. I saw it this morning, tuned in, and Duquesne was up like 13. They slowly let that lead slip away, but they held on. And as soon as I saw the lead, I was like, oh, right. I was too busy building my my Calax, or whatever they call it, Calix. I'm not sure what the pronunciation on that shelf was. It was a rough one, though. One screw. I just wouldn't go. I was like, screw it. It'll hold. It's fine. Throw some duct tape there. It'll be good. So it's been pretty chalky so far.
Yeah, and people were predicting a chalky tournament, but you never know what happens. We're only halfway through day one. There's going to be some upsets.
But no buzzer beaters. No close games so far.
Right now, we got our closest one of the day, 1-point game.
10-7, though. A 10-7 seed. Still
a tight game.
Yeah, no, totally.
It's 16-1.
Yeah, it's not really a sexy upset at a 10-7. People love the 12-5s. A good 13-4 upset. But a 10-7, I mean, Nevada, the Wolfpack, I know Josh Elliott Wolf's. His whole bracket philosophy was, I'm taking Wolves. If they're a Wolfpack, they're advancing a couple of rounds.
I believe his wording was, never bet against a team called the Wolfpack.
Precisely. Precisely. By the way, Acosta, you were on the show yesterday.
Yeah.
And you were decked out in X-Men gear.
Yeah.
We played the X-Men 97 theme. Fun little story from last night. Get home. Some messages from friends. I lost a lot of friends yesterday. Like, you didn't know the X-Men 97 theme? We played it at the end of the show. I was, like, totally blank. I was like, is this DuckTales is what I said? And listening back to it, I like, went and listened to it again. It reminded me, actually, of a British game show called The Crystal Maze. Very similar theme songs. I don't know if we can pull these up. I was like, I thought maybe it's not. I was like, there's no way Dom is referencing this right now. And a buddy messaged me from my childhood. He's like, you know what? I don't ever recall us talking about X-Men ever when we grew up.
That's shocking for me to hear. At least most people I know that loved it. Along the lines with you and the Ninja Turtles, Transformers.
Yeah.
X-Men was always in there. That's one of the first few people I've heard that have said they've never watched it.
I never even heard the theme song. Elon, have you heard the theme song? It's probably out of your age range.
I can't say I've watched it, guys.
Yeah.
Sorry to disappoint you.
So you watched the new episodes? Again, they came out on Disney Plus yesterday.
Yeah. Two-episode premiere, basically, like I said yesterday, carried on from the ending of the original series. And
so far, so good?
Oh, yeah.
Holds up?
Oh, yeah. Definitely holds up. I have a few thoughts on where they could go, but they left me wanting more, so I'm excited for
there
next
you go. How many episodes is it going to be?
I don't know for sure, but somewhere from 10 to 13.
Oh, okay.
So,
decent run.
Yeah.
Decent run. The other thing we were talking about in the pre-show, Dune 2, Josh Elliott Wolf, went and watched it last night. 2.5 hours or whatever it is. You guys crush Dune?
I haven't seen the second one yet.
Yeah. Elon?
I haven't seen it, but I don't have as big of a problem as you do with it.
I just, look, all these I'm not a big fantasy sci-fi guy. There's a few I'll watch. But in general, the plot lines are all the same. It's like tyrannical oppressor. Young person is the chosen one, and they have to go through the struggle of figuring out how to develop the gift. And then they do, and it's like, oh my God, they've arrived. And then there's a trilogy, and it's like, well, okay, cool. And so I watched Dune 1. It's like visually fantastic. I wasn't overly compelled, though. That's the thing. So I'm probably not going to watch Dune 2.
Well, Dune 1 was the setup. This one, Dune 2's got way more. So.
But I know what's going to happen. We know where it's going. And there's always some commodity. It's like, oh, they got to get the unobtainium or spice or whatever it is. It's ridiculous. But I'm sure I'll watch it at some point just for the pop culture references. But I'm not rushing to go watch it in IMAX in a crowded theater right now. Somebody's texting in. I've been singing the X-Men theme song all week. Torgi, 650, 650. I've never seen X-Men in my life. I'm 38. Us 38-year-olds got to stick together that have never seen X-Men so far. All right. Last one I think I want to get into. Actually, we got a couple more things, but one other thing. Montreal's in town tonight. Love seeing the jersey. Fantastic jersey. One thing that really stood out to me against Buffalo, that Canucks black versus the Sabres white and blue. It just looks so fantastic. Eyes were mesmerized to the ice. Very good jersey aesthetic game. So what are the best jersey games? If you want to take it outside of hockey, text in 650, 650. That's fine. Like Packers, Chiefs always looks good. But what are the best jersey games in hockey or in sports?
I have to go 2014 NHL Winter Classic, Toronto
Maple
Leafs.
Is really specific.
Yeah, I thought about this, Bick.
Okay.
You posed the question.
You were like, 2014, January 1st. All right.
2014, the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the Detroit Red Wings. You know what the jerseys I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Immediately after they released those jerseys, I went and bought the Pavel Datsyuk jersey. I'm not a Red Wings fan.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that nice.
That's the one with the...
it's red with a bit of cream with the Detroit...
Detroit over the top, right?
Yeah.
Because they had the weird, like, the big D one.
No, not that one.
Matched
up against the blue with the Fanuf on the back. Fantastic.
The blue and red always looks good on ice. Habs, Leafs is always a classic
Black
one for
Hawks
me.
Blackhawks and Blues. I've always liked that jersey matchup.
The Blues one... I don't like the patches on the Blues, the shoulder patches. If they clean that one up, yeah, that would look pretty sharp. But the Blackhawks versus, like, the Rangers,
yeah,
that's always clean.
That's a good one.
That's always clean.
How about going along Elon's theme here? How about the Winter Classic, Pittsburgh Penguins, Buffalo Sabres?
The classic Sabres ones just look so nice.
It's a very sharp jersey.
Yeah, and there's like a, I don't say a matte coloring to them, but there's a dullness that I really like to it. The muted blue, the muted whites, or the creams, whatever you want to call it. And those old Sabres jerseys look really good. By the way, so the Nevada-Dayton game's over? What do we got here?
Dayton wins by 3 points.
7 seed, advancing. Absolutely. This one, what do you guys think of the NHL allowing home jerseys versus home jerseys as long as the contrasting, as long as they are very contrasting, like the Leafs versus the Red Wings? I want to see go back to white home jerseys. That's the big thing. Like the dark jerseys are the fun, usually the more colorful, the more fun one. It's tiring seeing the Canucks blue every night. I want to see the changes of the different colors coming
so
into
in
the
NBA, the home team's kind of allowed to wear whatever color they want, and the road team follows.
Well, they each have 4 jerseys, right?
Right. So it's gotten a bit out of hand. Sometimes you watch, and there's just 2 bright colors. Can't handle that. One team should be white.
Yeah. One dark, one white. We don't need to confuse this. But I want to go back to the NHL having white home jerseys, and you can see the different colors come in. Because right now it just looks the same every single time. Canucks blue versus white. Canucks blue versus white. They wear black. It's versus white every single time. Mix it up a bit so it looks a little sharper. This one, I've always been a fan of the black BC Lions jerseys. I thought they went well against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Everything actually looks really good against the Rough Riders green. Everything looks fantastic there. Seahawks, Cowboys, when they were against in their retros last year. There's too many other better NFL ones. That's a problem. So, Celtics, Lakers.
That's a classic.
On like that Celtics parquet floor. That looks very sharp. Raiders versus Steelers. Someone's texting in. 650-650. I'm kind of doing like a guys naming dudes version here on a Wednesday. Naming jerseys here at the end of the show. But the Habs coming into town always reminds me of the fantastic jerseys they got. How about the Canucks Black Skate versus the Vegas Gold? There'll be a lot of clashing, no?
That's a tough one,
yeah.
In my opinion there. That's a little much. However, if it was a white skate jersey for the Canucks.
That look, low-key, I want to see that one come back.
That will look good against anybody.
Yeah.
That's a very sharp jersey.
I know everyone loves the black skate, and it looks menacing, it looks intimidating, and then that's the one that really pops. I was always partial to the white skate jersey. It's Thursday. I screwed that up. I said it's Wednesday, didn't I? You know what? Look, it's game day off day for me. That's it. Game day off day. I forget what day it is. Often. Yesterday I got X-Men wrong. Today I'm getting days of the week wrong. It's rough. It's rough. This one. Leafs have the most boring jerseys. It's Mike in downtown Kelowna. Classic Islanders is really nice.
Vic, I did want to ask you something before we get off here.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell's going on with Shohei Ohtani and his interpreter?
Oh, man. What a bizarre story. All right, so lay this out for us. His interpreter speaks to ESPN and says, like, basically lays out a case that Shohei Ohtani covered a gambling debt for him. And then in 90 some odd minutes or later on that day, it gets refuted. And now it's a $4.5 million theft that the interpreter has been fired from his job. And now Ohtani's lawyers are going after him.
Right. So the interpreter owed a bookie $4.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
The interpreter came out saying that his longtime friend, Shohei Ohtani, that he also works for, lent him the money, and that he would pay him back, which Shohei Ohtani's camp has said that is not true. He stole the money.
Mm-hmm.
And the issue is here is the MLB does not want Shohei Ohtani to be involved in this.
Of course not.
Because
like,
he is their number one marketer.
In a huge market.
In a huge market where an MLB is also promoting gambling like crazy.
Just signed a $700 million deal.
This would not be a good look if it came out that Shohei was involved in this.
Here's the thing. I kind of don't care as much about the, like, players are going to gamble. Okay, that's the thing. We talk about money on the board all the time. Like, what do you think that is? How much? Now, you can't bet on the games. And I believe the interpreter has even come out and said, like, never was a bet placed on baseball.
He was betting on international soccer, yeah. NFL.
Now, how much do we believe that it was the interpreter making the bets? That's the question here, right? Because I don't know if ultimately MLB really cares about the interpreter making bets. They care about Ohtani making bets. Like, that's, you can replace an interpreter. You can't replace Shohei Ohtani.
And the bookie came out saying that Ohtani was betting with him.
Yeah, that's
but
the...
But ultimately, it probably makes him look better. People want to bet with him because so-called Ohtani's betting with him.
Yeah. Man, it's... The way the story has transpired, if it was just clean and it's like, hey, this has happened. Like, we've seen it here happen. Like, Shane Pinto, we've seen Calvin Ridley. There's a clean way to get through the story. But the way this has kind of transpired to go from a staggering amount of money, obviously, for, you know, $4.5 million for a lot of people. Now, Shohei is going to clean up $700 million over the course of his contract. Drop in the ocean for Shohei. But the way this has transpired for me makes it just seems like it's raised more questions on top of an already murky situation where a lot of great reporting on this story already. But for the spokesperson to say that Ohtani never bet and then for it to go to theft in a span of a day just feels like a strange sequence. That the story might not be completely told just yet. And we'll see what goes through here moving forward. But, you know, in the here and now, I'm willing to take it at face value that there's no bets placed on baseball. Certainly, it's a massive rule. If you're not breaking that, my interest subsides a little bit. It's just very salacious at $4.5 million and his own close personal friend. And even if you take it at face value, that Shohei Ohtani was willing to just cut a check to save his friend. What a guy Shohei Ohtani is. Got to get in that friend circle. Big opening in his entourage right now. All right, good stuff coming into the inbox. 650 on a Thursday. Which means I'm going to stick around. I'm going to join Canucks Central for the Thursday roundup on a Canucks game day as well. TV pregame that will be joined in progress later this evening. So pregame at 6 o'clock. You'll see it on TV after 6:30 as well. Going into the night with Batch and Randeep with the game call. Myself and Sat on the postgame show taking you all the way to 11:30 tonight here on the home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.